Today, I want to talk to you a bit about blessings. Now, but before I come to this topic, I would like to make a little test with you. It's a little riddle, and I want you to give the answers, to say them out loud. Can we have that slide? Okay. At nighttime, farmers make sure that their livestock is in the stable. A heavy rope made from metal we call also a cable. And the first guy who killed his brother was? It was Cain. Now, no matter if you only, or if you said Abel, or if you had it just on your mind or on your tongues, let me tell you, when I heard this the first time, I ran into the same trap. But no matter what, it's proof how easy our minds can be influenced in a certain way. And especially for this topic today of blessings, I find many of us are so influenced when it comes to the word blessings that we only think of financial blessings. I don't know how is it with you, but I know a number of people who cannot think of, when they hear the word blessing, of anything else but financial blessings. I want to give you a quote now from Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Can we get that on the screen? And I'll read it for you. It is a capital mistake to theorize before one has data. Insensibly, one begins to twist facts to suit theories instead of theories to suit facts. Now, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle is the spiritual father of the famous detective Sherlock Holmes, and he says this to police work. But I think it's absolutely true also in theology. There are so many pastors and churches, they take one Bible verse and find a theory, a whole theology of it, and in order to make other Bible verses fit, so they bend them around so that their theory works. And I found that happens especially with blessings, financial blessings. There are pastors, there are churches where it is said, you give money into this service and God will bless you. And they base this on a verse in 2 Corinthians, if we can have that slide as well. In 2 Corinthians 9, in verse 6, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. That's how they come to say, give your money to this service and you will be blessed by God. And I know people who thought, okay, I'll give $2,000 to that church and then God has to give me back $10,000 or $20,000. It doesn't work that way. We cannot force God to do something. We cannot say, God, I did this for you, and now you have to bless me. That's not the case. And unfortunately, I know people who lost a lot of money with that. We cannot force God to give. We have to take all what the Bible says into consideration, especially when it comes to these questions of financial blessings. I could give you way more parallels to how people bend Bible verses around to suit their theories, but I don't want to go there today. I want to look into the blessings, and I found something very important in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, it's where God calls Abraham, and he says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Now, I want to insert something that needs to be said here. God says to Abraham, I will bless you first, and then you will be a blessing. That's the way how it works. God blesses us first. And he has blessed us in a great way. We all are blessed. Maybe you don't know it, maybe you don't see it, but we all are blessed. All that we are here today and all who watch on the video on the internet, we are blessed just that we can live in a free country with a democratic government which observes human rights and especially religious freedom. We are so blessed. There are so many nations, there are so many countries in Africa and Arabic countries, Asian countries, who don't have that. People would like to have it. We have it and we may not see what we've got. Now, how can we use this blessing to bless others? Oh, that's not too difficult. Because there are immigrants, there are refugees coming to our country. We have no influence in who may or may not come as a refugee to Canada. But when they come, we can do something. We can welcome them. We can make them feel welcomed and really well looked after. There's something terrible going on right now in the country where I'm coming from, in Germany. I read it on the internet newspapers that I look up once in a while. There is a place in Germany where the provincial government wanted to start a new subdivision and build apartment buildings for about 400 refugees. And the people of that area don't want it. They protest, they go on the streets showing signs, we don't want refugees to live here. Can you imagine that? It feels terrible for me. What did we do to live in a free country? We inherited it. We got it for free. Are we not willing to share our blessings? Now, there is a lot of more different blessings that we can mention. There is a lot of personal abilities. Let me start with the ability of speaking. I know churches, I know pastors, where the pastor is not a blessed speaker. He is a wonderful counselor, he is a wonderful organizer, he can do lots of things, but he cannot preach. And as often as I heard this pastor starting to preach, I had to fight not to fall asleep. I'm so glad I don't have that problem with Pastor John. Not with Trent, not with Elise, not with Glenn. I'm so glad. It's a blessing. And it's a blessing when these people who are blessed with the ability to speak, when they use it for the church. It's a blessing. Oh, you have to know that. I cannot say that. There's a blessing in performing music, singing, playing an instrument. I have to say, I think very often of those two relatively young girls singing here once in a while. For us, this is such a blessing to see these girls. They are blessed with the gift of singing, and they use it to bless us. I don't know how you feel, but I always feel so, I have to be careful. I always feel so blessed when these girls are singing. And I have to say that as well, when there is someone here playing the drums, I like that so much when our music as a church is a little bit underlined by the rhythm of the drums. There are so many ways we are blessed, and there are so many things, especially when it comes to music, people are blessed and they can be a blessing to others. Let's think of other arts. I don't know who was here at that service. There was a service, John Payet was painting a paint of Jesus, but upside down. It was a great moment to see that. I see some of you have been here, and we've had this picture hanging here for quite a while. Oh yeah, there it is. Huh. It was hanging here in the front, now it hangs in the back. I've seen John painting this, and I was so blessed by the message that came through it. We can use our abilities to be a blessing for others. Let me mention organization, leadership. There are people who are the born leaders, and it's great to see them working or helping as home group leaders or youth group leaders or whatever. It's a gift. It's a blessing from God, and it's wonderful when people use this. Now, COVID has changed quite a bit in our lives, especially in the lives of the churches. There are people who are very blessed with being good cooks or bakers, and they have done that. They have used their gift to bless a church when the church was meeting, but okay, I hope that will come back soon, that we can meet this way and can enjoy what other people are cooking and baking. And and there's way more of personal abilities that we can mention. There are other blessings. Maybe you are blessed with a wonderful home. Can you use your home as a blessing for others? Yes, you can invite people. You can invite the home group. You can invite people, just your neighbors, for a cup of tea or coffee, whatever they like, and have social contacts. For some people, this is such a blessing, because otherwise they would be just alone, just lonesome. Quite a number of us are blessed with having a driver's license and a car. And that's something that can be used as well. I know of people who don't have that anymore, and it's a blessing when someone of the church can bring someone else to church or into town or for whatever. Something as normal and as simple as a driver's license can be a blessing that you can use for other people. Maybe you have a lot of physical strength and can help people move whatsoever or do whatever work. Maybe it's just time that you have. Time can be a blessing, and you can use this time to pray for others, to make phone calls, to be in contact, to help other people not to feel lonesome. This is just the variety of blessings that came to my mind. Maybe you find others, and I hope you find your specific blessings that you've got, whatever it may be. There is a parable that Jesus told his disciples and those people who were hearing him. It is mentioned in Matthew chapter 25. I won't read it, and we won't see it on the screen. I just want to tell certain things of it to you, and maybe you find the time today or tomorrow or sometimes this week to read through this parable yourself. Jesus tells the people that there was a rich man who planned to go on a long trip, and he passed his business on to his servants. And for the first servant, he took 5 bags of gold, gave it to him, and said to him, "Work with it, be busy with it, and make the best out of it." The second servant got 3 bags of gold, same comments. And the third, the last servant, got 1 bag. But the same comments, same thing, go work with it, use it. Now the first two, the one with the 5 bags and the one with the 3 bags, they were working. And Jesus doesn't tell us how much they first lost of the gold to win more. He doesn't tell this. He just says at the end, at the final end, when the Lord came back, when the master came back, he says, then the first one has won another 5 bags of gold with what he got. And the same was true for the second. He won another 3 bags to what he has got from his master. Just the last one, he was kind of greedy. He said, "I haven't got what the others got. Why didn't I get more? So what am I doing with this little bit? I better dig a hole, bury it." And when his master came back, he dug it out again and gave it to his master and said, "Here is what you gave me. I owe you nothing." And the master said, "Well, there is no place for you here. Now, when we think of blessings that we got or that we see others to have, we may think the same. Hey, I haven't got what they've got. I haven't got that beautiful home that so-and-so has. I haven't got that good job and making that money that so-and-so had. If I only had so much money, I would do more for the church. Huh? Jesus says there is two mistakes we can make. The one is, we just want to have what the others have. If I only could play piano like Jolene plays it, if I only could do this, I would be part of the worship team. If I only could sing like Angie can sing, I would be part of the music team here every Sunday. I cannot, sorry. So I'm not part of it, period. And I don't see what I have got. And the second mistake that we can make is we can just say, because I cannot see what I've got, I do nothing with it. I'm not blessed, I have nothing, so I don't do anything. And Jesus says, that's not right. We have to find what is our blessing, because we will have one. And we have to use it. Let me tell you one thing of my own experience. I went to school and had to learn French. Now I learned the European way of French. And I used it quite a bit. I've done work for my businesses, for my companies that I worked for. I've done work in France, and I've worked with French customers, and I had no problem speaking that language. Now, almost 27 years ago, I came to Canada, and the people here speak a different French. And I have problems with it, and so I haven't really spoken French over the last 27 years. And guess what? I forgot so much. I'm not really able to use it anymore, because what you do not use will rust and you will lose it. And that's what Jesus tells in this parable. You have to use what you've got, otherwise it's worth nothing. Now I want to wind all this up by presenting to you the penguin principle. I didn't come up with it. That was a German medical doctor. His name is Eckhard von Hirschhausen. That is available on YouTube, but the problem is it's in German. There are English subtitles available, but they change so fast, I have a hard time to follow it. So that's why I don't play it here on the screen. I want to present it to you myself, and I have to say I made some tiny little adjustments and changes so that it fits better to me. So now here it is, the penguin principle. Now, as many of you may know, I grew up in Germany. And there I lived in or very close to a number of big cities like Berlin, Frankfurt, Munich, Stuttgart. And all these cities have zoos and or aquariums, and there I could watch penguins. One day, when I watched a penguin standing on the rock, I thought, poor guy. Clumsy, plump, pudgy, the wings too small to fly, and when he wobbled to the edge of that rock, I thought, oh goodness, the Creator even has forgotten to give him proper legs and knees to walk in a decent way. A clear case of faulty design, a design failure. And then I saw that penguin jump and swim. Wow. Penguins are excellent swimmers. They are well designed to move with agility, with joy, and fast. That way, with the energy equivalent of only 1 liter of regular gasoline or petrol, whatever you say, they can cover a distance of 2,000 kilometers. That is way, way better than anything humans have ever designed. And I thought, design failure. The penguin reminds me of two things: how fast I pass judgment and how easily I can be completely wrong, especially when I've seen people in only one situation. And secondly, how important the surroundings are in order to show properly what we can do well and what we are good at. Humans do not change very easily or completely or sorrowfully. If you have been born as a penguin, even 7 years of psychotherapy or counseling will not turn you into a giraffe. A good counselor or psychotherapist, and yes, they exist, won't start talking about why you want to have a long neck, or what it has to do with things in your childhood, or possible mistakes that your grandparents made in your life, or whatever went wrong in the past. No, he will ask you, who are you? And what can you do well? What is your strength? Because strengthen your strong points makes much more sense than meddling with your weaknesses. And in case you keep saying, yes, but shouldn't I be more like other people? I just can tell you, there are already enough other people. All I need to know is myself, and find out if I am in a good place for what I am. And when I am a penguin and find myself in a desert, it's not really my mistake when things don't function like clockwork. I just need to take a little step and jump into the water and experience how good it feels to be in the proper place where I belong. I'm very grateful that I know that for myself. And it's from the bottom of my heart that I wish that all of you will find that for yourself. So let me give an example. When you are a very creative person, a little bit chaotic in an artistic way, you better don't teach English grammar or work as an accountant. Use your strengths in the right way, and your weaknesses won't show up so much. And that's only one little example to encourage you to track down your own penguin and to be true to it. Now, my penguin salutes your penguin and hopes for you that you find out what you are blessed with and what you can bless others with. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, here we are knowing that you have blessed us in so many ways. Lord, let us understand what we are blessed with. Let us see it, open our eyes for it, and then open our hearts that we use the blessings we've got to bless others, to be a blessing. Lord, I pray this for me, I pray this for this congregation, and I hope, Lord, that we all can follow your words, that we accept your blessings and be a blessing for other people in this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.